name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I grew up as a city kid, but I got a chance to spend some time in rural America visiting grandparents and aunts and uncles up in Minnesota. But I really didn't know what small town life was like until I moved with Tammy and Jennifer and the kids that were to come to a little town in rural Nebraska. And then I found out what small town life was like. And it was great. And one thing that really struck me was how much in a small town they treasure the past. And while some people might think of that as being a little bit backwards, as always looking to the past, they really did treasure those who had gone before them, their city fathers, those who had established the community. They loved their history. And one thing in particular that I was impressed with in small town Nebraska was how they celebrated Memorial Day. It was a big day. The street was lined with flags. They had a big gathering at lunch down on the city square. They would invite people from the town to give speeches, and the soldiers, the living ones, the World War II veterans, the Korean veterans, the veterans of all of the wars that were still living, would be there dressed in old uniforms, and it was quite a ceremony. Memorial Day was an important day, and unfortunately, I found out that Memorial Day has become something it wasn't intended to be, because it has become, for almost all people, a day to remember all the dead, when in fact Memorial Day was specifically set aside to remember those who died as soldiers for the cause of their country. These people in rural Nebraska treasured what they had today because of those who had gone before them. I didn't fully grasp that. In fact, at first, I kind of looked at those old soldiers a little cross-eyed. I thought, oh, these guys, you know, what kind of soldiers would these guys have been? You looked at them, overweight, their uniforms a little wrinkly, old and grizzled. They couldn't march in formation anymore. But when they were younger, they had been great soldiers. They had served the cause. They had done great things, and they had left a great legacy. Well, today is the church's Memorial Day. And in fact, I wish we could do a better job of treating it with greater reverence and more importance even than those who remember Memorial Day, because it was our day first. Because you see, the church has been remembering those who have gone before her a lot longer than any government has established a day to remember the war dead. They're both important days. But for us as a church, it is good to remember those who have gone before us. Of course, today we will specifically remember by name some who we know. And we've done that every year. Remember with some sadness, but also with joy and thankfulness, those who have been washed in the blood of Christ. Those who, as we have heard described in the book of Revelation, have come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And therefore they are before the throne of the Lamb, and they serve him day and night in his temple. Their suffering is relieved, and their song of joy is unending. And we rejoice with them that they have now entered into this glorious rest. And yet even they, who now stand in the glorious presence of Christ, still wait for what you wait for, because you still pass through the great tribulation. But you with them are also waiting for that day when Christ will come again in glory. He will come with his angels and archangels and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And as you will hear in just a few moments, those of us who are still waiting will be changed in a flash, in a twinkling of an eye. And then there will be this grand reunion when we will, together with all those who have gone before us, stand in the glorious presence of God forever. As we remember those who have gone before us, we are thankful for those from this congregation and the congregations in which you have been a part throughout your life. That those who went before you, perhaps as we laid them to rest, we thought of them as old. Perhaps we thought of them as gray. Perhaps we thought of them as those whose time had passed. And yet they, like those of us gathered here at one time, were young and vibrant. And they served Christ and they served his church on earth. And what we have here today would not be here were it not for those who have gone before us. And so we are thankful to God for how he used them to preserve his church here on earth. They confessed his name and rejoiced in the same gifts that we celebrate and rejoice in today. As we remember those who have gone before us, we must also not be so naive to think that they were perfect. Well, at least not in and of themselves. Because they had flaws, just like the church of today has flaws. They had sinful lives, just like each of us have sinful lives. They did not always keep God's commandments, just like the people of the church today do not always keep God's commandments. And so we do not have to pretend that they were perfect. And yet, the scriptures tell us that they, along with us, are indeed holy. Throughout the New Testament and also in the Old, God refers to his people, including those who are on earth, as well as those who have already entered into the glory of heaven, as being saints. That means holy ones, set apart. And that's what you are. Not because of what you have done, but because of what Christ has done. And so as we remember the saints who have gone before us, our thankfulness is to Christ, because they would not be in his glorious presence were it not for what Christ did for them and what Christ continues to do for you. Christ was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and died. He shed his blood so that those robes in which we see them adorned in the book of Revelation might be made clean and holy. That was done at the font. When after Christ suffered and died, he bound his redeeming work at the cross and his glorious resurrection to the simple sacrament of holy baptism. We're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul reminds us that each of you who have been baptized into Christ have clothed yourself in Christ. This is that great white garment that they are adorned with. A couple of weeks ago, perhaps you remember that parable when the king came into the wedding guest and he saw the one guest who was not wearing the wedding garment. And the one who was not adorned in the garment provided by the king was cast out, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And this is the end for all who do not live and die in Christ, who are not adorned with the righteousness that comes only through faith in Christ. At holy baptism, you receive that garment. And yet as you reflect upon your life and remembering that those saints who went before you were not perfect, you can think daily in your own life of what you have done to that white garment that you received in your baptism. Every single day of your life, in your thoughts, in your words, and in your actions, you smear that garment with the dirt of sin. Every single day, that beautiful white garment is dragged through the mud of your sinful life. And yet, Christ does not cast you away because you have sullied that garment. Instead, he calls you anew to himself so that he might cleanse it again and again and again. As you come to him confessing your sin and you hear the words of your pastor's absolution, I forgive you your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You believe these are not your pastor's words, but they are Christ's words. It is not your pastor's forgiveness. It is Christ's forgiveness. And all of those stains, all of those blemishes that with which you have adorned that white garment of yours, Christ makes holy, pure, and clean again. And as a seal and promise of what he does to you in the words of absolution, this same Christ calls you unto himself. In the picture from the book of Revelation, we read, for the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Christ is the shepherd and continues to be the shepherd of those who have gone before us. They are with him in his glorious presence. And here today, he is here with you to shepherd you, to call you unto himself, to spread his tabernacle over you. And he renews you in that forgiveness and in the hope of eternal life. And yes, even now already, he dries your tears, the tears of repentance, the tears of sorrow, as he gives to you the gift of his body and his blood. He shepherds you by declaring to you, take and eat. This is my body. Take and drink. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Through holy baptism, through the absolution that you receive, through the preaching and teaching of Christ's word, and in the holy supper of Christ's body and blood, our Lord shepherds you, and he declares to each of you that through these means, he has made each of you also a saint. And so remember with joy today those who have gone before us. Give thanks to God for what he did to them and through them, so that we as the church today might also remember, rejoice, give thanks, and receive the ministry of Christ given to his saints, both those already in his glorious presence and the saints of God gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.